Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the second episode of the Inside the GMHL podcast. I'm your host, JR, and we got an exciting episode for you guys today. First of all, I'd just like to thank everybody who tuned into the first episode. We had well over 100 listens, which is awesome for the first episode of a podcast, and so I can't say how much I appreciate all you guys tuning in, whether you're players, fans, staff members, or family. It's really appreciated when you guys tune in, and it's going to allow us a little bit more freedom moving forward with the podcast. That being said, we got a really exciting episode for you guys today, including the very first interview on Inside the GMHL. We had a live interview with head coach of the Villemarie Pirates, Marc-Andre Caron, following his team's win over the Bradford Rattlers last Sunday. We're also going to be looking at a pair of alumni and what they're doing, one in college and one in professional. We're highlighting a trio of young players in the North Division, and we have a franchise spotlight on the North York Renegades, the only undefeated team left in the South Division, while we also check in on the West Division and what's been going on with that, including a couple of teams getting their seasons going and a surprised undefeated team in the Western Division. To start off the podcast, I just wanted to give a rundown of what each division looks like so far. This is as of October 31st, so happy Halloween, guys. Nothing spooky about these rankings so far. We have Villemarie at the top of the North Division with a 9-3-1 record for 19 points. They're 6 points ahead of second place Temiskaming, who's 6-5-1. West Nipissing, 6-6-0 for 12 points. The Rattlers, they've only taken 2 losses. They're 5-1-1, but they've only played 7 games. And so they're in 4th with 11 points. Undefeated Meaford is actually in 5th place because they've only played 5 games, but they did just have a recent win over the Villemarie Pirates on Sunday, October 30th. And so they're looking like a really strong team, and if they can pull together a few more wins as they get farther into their schedule, I have no doubt that they're going to be one of the top 2 or 3 teams in the North Division. Rounding out the North, we have South Muskoka and Bancroft at 5-4 points, but both of them have taken wins over the stronger teams in the league points-wise, and so this entire division is really wide open here. Moving on to the South Division, there can only be one, and now there only is. The North York Renegades now stand as the lone undefeated team in the South Division at 11-0-0. Behind them are 2 teams tied with 10-1-0 records in 11 games. That's the Bradford Bulls and the Durham Roadrunners. Tottenham is continuing to have a winning record for the first time since that championship season. They're 8-5-1, and they're generally taking care of the wins that they should be taking care of. I know that when they've been playing North York and Bradford and Durham, they've had either tight games, but they are right there, and that's why they're 4th in the South Division. So if from 1st to 4th in the South, it's only a 5-point difference. Then it's another 5 to 6, and it starts to drop off just a little bit. The St. George Ravens at 6-7-0, Northumberland 5-7-1, Niagara 5-6-1, and then we have Windsor and Streetsville, who are both just kind of trying to establish their identity as franchises and see what it takes for them to move forward with success. Windsor only has 2 points on the season, whereas Streetsville still looking for their first win, but lots of tight games against Windsor, Niagara, and Northumberland, and so it'll be exciting to see how they look moving forward, but North York undefeated in the South Division. Now, in the West Division, we actually have 2 undefeated teams. One of them, unsurprising, High Prairie, extremely strong team. They can go dozens and dozens of games without losing. The franchise puts together one of the highest level of talent on ice in the West Division. The second team, though, Mackenzie, they struggled last year, but they've come out to a 4-0 record in the West Division. Northern Alberta's in 2nd at 9-2-1 for 19 points. Edson 8-5-0. Slave Lake 5-7-0. Before you get to Mackenzie, who is in 5th place, but they're undefeated at 4-0. Fox Creek, they're 2-10. And then we just recently got started with the rest of the West Division. So Kitimat, Burns Lake, Mackenzie all just started in the last couple of weeks. Tumbler Ridge is the only team left to still not play a game. They're planning on starting on November 4th, and so they're going to be getting going. I believe that's against the Kitimat Sacks. And so Burns Lake, Kitimat, and Mackenzie all started last week. Mackenzie's 4-0. The other teams are still looking for their first win, along with the Gibbons Pioneers. But High Prairie continues to be the class of this Western Division. But a surprising show by Mackenzie. We're going to have to see what it looks like when those teams play each other for the very first time, because who knows if Mackenzie could somehow, you know, come out and disrupt the power in the Western Division by taking out a team like High Prairie and, remaining undefeated. Before we got into the specifics of what's been happening over the league as well, I just wanted to give a shout out to the statistical leaders so far in the league. For goal scoring, we have Samuel Sent from Windsor. Assist leader, we have Philippe Filardo from Tottenham, who's also leading the league in points with 42 in 14 games. Game-winning goals, we also have from Tottenham. That's Carson Desroche, who has 5 game winners on the year. When we move into the goaltending categories, we have Nicholas Lewicki from North York, who's leading the league with 7 wins. And then we have a tie among the goals against average leaders. So we have Dawson Halitsky and Blake Torella from High Prairie and Durham. They're both rocking a 1.25 through 4 games each. In saves, we have the Streetsville Flyers, Tate Pratchek, who's made 359 saves in their 9 games played. And Dominic Marquise from the Bulls reigns supreme in the save percentage category with a 9.58 through 6 games so far this season. And now we wanted to get into a couple of those alumni spotlights that we were talking about. The first one is Joel Dieleman, who's a former Bradford Bulls forward. He played AAA through his entire minor hockey career in the SCTA. He then played parts of seasons in the JHL before making the jump to the G. With the Bulls, he posted 14 goals and 17 assists for 21 points in 23 games. In the playoffs, the 6'3 power forward helped the Bulls with another 2 goals and 2 assists in 11 games. So he's currently playing for the Calvin University Knights in the Division 1 ACHA. The Grand Rapids Michigan School was founded in 1876, holds approximately 4,000 students in their 9 building campus. And so Joel is off to a great start. He's already has 4 goals and 4 assists for 8 points in 6 games, more than a point per game player for the Knights. And we wish Joel the best of luck in his scholastic endeavors, as well as the rest of the hockey season with Calvin University. Our next alumni spotlight is Marcus Bergman, who played for the Bradford Rattlers in the 2012-2013 season. He helped the Rattlers to a championship and a perfect season with 21 goals, 17 assists for 38 points in 18 games. In the playoffs, Marcus posted another 15 goals and 23 assists for 38 points in 15 games. So after his success in the GMHL, Marcus went on to play in the Hockeyettan in Sweden for IFK Tumba and Hudin JK. Since the 2018-2019 season, Marcus has been playing for Västerås IK and Hockey Allsvenskan. So far this season, he's producing at a point-per-game pace. He's got 2 goals, 4 assists, 6 points in 6 games, which is good for him being the top point producer on his team, Västerås IK. So in his career, Marcus played 249 games in the Hockey Allsvenskan and notched 52 goals and 77 assists for 129 points. In Hockeyettan, the 29-year-old posted 59 goals and 43 assists for 102 points in 140 games. Now, Västerås IK was founded in 1999 and has been steady team in the Hockey Allsvenskan since not being close to relegation since the 2016 season. So we'd just like to, you know, congratulate Marcus on the work that he's done and let him know to keep up the good work. Next, we're going to be looking at the prospect spotlight that the GMHL had about a week ago. And so the GMHL, you know, is always hoping to provide a platform that allows their players to be showcased, noticed. And so we're also trying to promote the younger players in the league this season through the prospect spotlight segment, and that's going to be including U18 players that have been performing well in our league throughout the season. The first segment covers 3 players playing in the North Division: number 13 Maxence Lemaire, number 14 Stepan Levitsky, and number 17 Isaac Locker. So Maxence Lemaire is a forward for the Temiskaming Titans. I got to watch him and Levitsky play last night. He was born in Levi, Quebec in 2004. The 5'8", 175-pound forward is in his first season in the GMHL. Last season, he played for the CIHA Voyagers in the CSSHLE U18 League. In 8 games so far for the Titans, Maxence posted 4 goals and an assist for 5 points. That was at the time of writing. I know that Maxence at least had one of the goals for the Titans last night in their game against the Rattlers. And that brings us to our second prospect, who had at least 2 of the goals last night, and that's Stepan Levitsky. So he's a forward for the Rattlers. He's from Zelenograd, Russia. He was born in 2004, and he's in his second season in the GMHL. And he's posted 2 goals, 2 assists in 10 games. I know that those numbers are up a little bit. I was looking at the stats yesterday, and almost all of his goals had come somewhat on special teams, some on the power play, but also quite a few shorthanded as well. And so he started this season strong. He had 4 goals, 4 assists for 8 points in 4 games at the time of writing. And another player that I got to see when he came to play the Bradford Rattlers is Isaac Locker, who's a forward that's been relied on for the Muskoka Shield. Born in 2006, the Orillia, Ontario native Locker is 6 feet tall, 176 pounds, playing his first junior hockey season with the GMHL, and at the time of writing, Isaac had played 6 games for posting 3 goals, 2 assists for 5 points, with 14 penalty minutes. And so the GMHL just wanted to give recognition to these young players and wish them the best of luck moving forward. Next up, we had our GMHL team profile, and October's team profile spotlighted the North York Renegades, who, as I mentioned prior in the podcast, are currently 11-0-0, the only undefeated team in the South Division. So the Renegades joined the GMHL in the 2014-2015 season, immediately establishing itself as one of the top recruiting teams in the GMHL with the support of an amazing community behind it. At the time of writing, their all-time record was 158, 118, and 21 for a 5.32 winning percentage. Their leading scorer this season is Ryan Fritz. Their all-time leading scorer is forward Santino Foti, who scored 223 points with the Renegades, good for 22nd all-time in the league history. And while they haven't had a Russell Cup Finals appearance or championship, they are all over the league award winners. They've won 8 league awards, so they've had 3 coach of the years, 2 times they've had the top goaltender, they've had a top defenseman, rookie of the year, best defensive forward, and that just really comes down to all of the management staff, but specifically general manager Daryl Lloyd, who's been able to put together a successful team for years and years. So Daryl also serves as the head coach. This is his 5th season. The rest of the staff includes Joey Gagne, Alex Lepore, Yashwinth Varadasa, Albert Parent, and Samantha Marson. And while they've yet to name their captains, I believe their captain might be Jedi Summersall. And when I got to see him last week in the Bulls Renegades game, he clearly established himself as one of the top defensemen in the league. Watching him was a real treat. And even though I was saying his name incorrectly through the game, I was saying Jadija Summersall, whereas it's actually Jedi Summersall, it was easy to see why he's been recognized as one of the top defensemen in the league so far. Aside from Summersall, though, on the back end, I mean, the team is just a really well-balanced offensive attack. You know, at least 5 of their players at the time of writing had over 12 points in 7 games. That was Fritz, Joseph Leonti, Summersall, Christopher Rende, and Nicholas Andropoulos, with another 3 with at least 7, so a point per game, headlined by 4th-year forward Dylan Labelle. On defense, that's where Summersall is the real leader. The former Markham AAA player has been providing solid D play on a nightly basis. That's very clear from what I saw last Wednesday. And in net, the Renegades have the luxury of one of the top goaltenders in the league, Nicholas Lewicki, who's 4-0 with a 9.52 save percentage and a 1.50 goals against average. And both Marek Andreoli and Christopher Thompson had won both their starts up to that point of writing in the season as well. The Renegades play their games at a Canland Sports York. It's an ice hockey arena in Toronto and is operated by Canland Ice Sports Corporation. It's the main ice rink at York University's Keele campus as the home of the York Lions men's and women's varsity hockey teams. It's also the home of the Toronto Six of the Premier Hockey Federation. The facility opened in 1996 as the Beatrice Ice Gardens and has 1 Olympic-sized and 5 NHL-sized ice rinks. The seating capacity for the largest rink at Canland Sports York is 1,200, and the arena has also been used for National Hockey League training camps. Also in the article, the GMHL named 3 notable active alumni. Rafael Maeda, who spent parts of 2 seasons with the Renegades in 2014-2015, scoring 51 points in 38 games. Following his final season with North York, Maeda began what has now become a 6-year professional career, playing in Sweden between Division 2 and Division 3, currently with Lindafelets SK. Next would be Christian D'Amico, who played in the GMHL for 2 seasons after playing U15 with the Vaughn Kings AAA team in the GTHL. In 78 games played, Christian scored 43 goals and produced 59 assists for 102 points. In 2 playoff appearances with the Renegades, he played 16 games, scoring 9 goals and 3 assists for almost a point per game, 12 points. And as we mentioned on last week's episode, it was announced to us that Christian made the Waterloo Warriors hockey team roster, where he's going to be pursuing studies in the Waterloo University Arts Program. The 3rd alumni named in the article was Brendan McKenzie, who played his final year of junior hockey with the Renegades, scoring 48 points in 36 games before he would begin his pro career, which has been spent between Sweden in Division 3 and the FPHL, where he's seen time on the roster of the Mentor Icebreakers and most recently the brand new expansion team, the Motor City Rockers in Detroit. We also have two games of the week over the last couple of weeks to recap. The first of which took place last Sunday in Bradford when the Rattlers hosted the Villemarie Pirates. The Rattlers at the time hadn't lost in regulation and were on a three-game winning streak, but it was the Pirates who came to town and ended up taking a victory over the Rattlers with a 6-3 win. They added a pair of empty net goals in that game. A strong play from a lot of the Pirates players in that game, whereas the Rattlers just weren't able to put it together offensively for the full 60 minutes and ended up, you know, taking the loss on that one. The Rattlers ended up bouncing back with two wins this week, one over the West Nipissing Lynx and one over the Temiskaming Titans, whereas the Villemarie Pirates most recently took a loss to the Meaford Knights. And so as I was saying in the top of the podcast when I was talking about the division and what can happen in the North on any given night, you know, any one of these teams can go in and have a good night and end up with a win from the other team, and they can also lose to teams lower in the standings. And now feels like the perfect time to head over our interview with Marc-Andre Caron. This one was recorded live exactly following that game of the week when the Rattlers were defeated by the Pirates. Interview this season, we have someone who I've come to know as a friend during our time in the league together, 2019 Russell Cup champion and current head coach of the Villemarie Pirates, Marc-Andre Caron. How are you doing today, Marc-Andre? Yeah,
I'm doing pretty good. We had a good game tonight.
Hey, especially after the win, able to bring home 2 points as you head back.
Yeah, exactly. Against a top team like the Rattlers, it's always fun to play those games. It was a tie game till the end. We scored 2 empty net goals, but it was a one-goal game, and it was really fun experience.
And that finishes off a 4-point weekend for you guys, taking the victory last night and then also tonight on the road?
Exactly. Last night, we win in Muskoka, too.
And then what's the drive back for you guys, like, to Villemarie after a game here in Bradford?
Well, we're going to drive back. We're going to arrive around 4 a.m. My guys in college are going to arrive around 5 a.m. So that's why sometimes we have a shorter lineup.
100%. And that's yeah. And I don't think a lot of people realizes the sacrifices that some players have to make, especially when they're going to school, you know, getting home from a Sunday game here in Bradford, but also having to go to school in the morning and not being able to arrive home until 4 a.m. It's a big sacrifice that the players are making, but yeah, I know that you appreciate it as the coach and GM.
Yeah, for sure. We're all on the same page here where we know we have some sacrifice to do, but the guys are really good. They travel for the practice. They do everything, even though some guys have 50 minutes to do of driving every time, but they don't miss a beat. They're passionate about the game, so I love my group for sure.
It's a great group to be around when everybody's buying into the system and willing to make those sacrifices. So I wanted to start off the interview today by rewinding a few years to 2019 season that ended with you raising the Russell Cup as a member of the Pirates coaching staff. Was there a moment in that season when you said, okay, we really have a shot to be the champions at the end of this season?
Yeah, I think just after Christmas time when we come back in January, we play the Titans. Right away, we're a top team too. And we just, like, we had a really good game, dominate them. Yeah. Our top players were really good. And I felt at that point that, okay, my guys have shift to another gear. Yeah. I think we can do this year.
We have it in us now.
Yeah, exactly.
And going along with that, you made some key additions to that team that year, specifically LaBelle and Costa you guys brought in that year. Costa ended up being the playoff MVP. But you've, even since then, not been shy to make midseason acquisitions. Players like Kulikov, Weber, and Shatnov, specifically with me formerly being with Newtek, come to mind. But what kind of goes into the decision to bring in a player? And is there a way to sort of gauge how a player will not only fit on the ice, but also in the room?
Yeah, there's some things that we don't know about the players. Mm-hmm. Every time when we get our experience, we get our feedback from other team. But I watch a lot of videos, like the games I watch. I don't know, every game I watch like 5 times. And when I'm looking at a player specifically, I'm watching him a lot. Can he fit in our system? Can he help us? And I was doing the same back in the day. So that's why sometimes the team were a little bit surprised. This is the player you want? Yeah, because this is the player that thinks will fit with the Pirates and who's the missing piece right now. We just did that with Henry, just we acquired this last week in a trade. I really felt that Henry was some kind of player. I didn't have that much, a two-way player who can skate, can make plays and stuff like that. So I think he fits pretty well in what we're going to want to do with the Pirates.
Well, he definitely fit well tonight. He actually ended up with the game-winning goal. Tonight was his first game. I was chatting with him just shortly before, and I think he said that he made the drive from Montreal to here today just to join you guys with the team and be in this the game before he goes back with you to Ville-Marie.
Yeah, exactly. Then so that UC commitment, he was really happy to come with us. I think that we fit well when we talk on the phone and everything. So I think that his vision of the game and my vision of the game goes along well. So I'm pretty excited to see where we can go from there.
Yeah, going hand in hand, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, since you came into the league, you became the second team currently in Quebec, closest team to the Temiskaming Titans, and naturally, you guys have become rivals. Is there something different that goes into a matchup with the Titans, maybe a little extra fire that gets in the players when they know they're going to be battling for the pride of their province, per se?
Yeah, I would say that because it's in the same area, right? So there's a rivalry between fans, between teams for sure. Most of the players from the Pirates are from Quebec, but from our regional region. Their guys are from outside, but it's still Quebec. So yes, there's a big rivalry there. But I won't lie that games against the Rattlers are so fun to coach. Like every game, even when I lose and stuff, I'm mad when I lose, but I mean, there's something there. Well, it's high quality hockey every time we play the Rattlers.
Yeah,
it's the same with the Titans, but I mean that I felt that it's a little bit different because they get like a player from Sweden, from Russia, and you see different style here and there. When we play the Titans, still a good game, but it's more North American games like I'm used to to coach before when I was coaching midget double A or anything. So that's what I mean.
But and a lot of people would say that, you know, high quality opposition breeds high quality competition, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, going up against the other top teams in the league, whether it be the Titans that you guys get to see quite often or the Rattlers that you guys really will only be playing about four times a year, usually, you know, two here and two there, these games, you know, they mean so much more because it's really the only opportunities you're going to get to see the top teams in the league before playoffs roll around.
Exactly. Maybe you're right on that. We see the Titans more often, so it's really different. But When we play the Titans, there's a rivalry there for sure.
Now, following the Russell Cup in 2019, on that team you were the assistant coach at the time, but you took over not only as head coach, but also as general manager. Is there a specific way you'd say that you've gone about recruiting your first run as a junior hockey general manager?
Yeah, what I did when I first came in as GM, I recruit a lot of players I coach against or I coach. Justin Rivet is a big example of that. He was my captain back in the days. I coached Justin Rivet since 15 years old until 22 years old.
So there's definitely a familiarity.
So I had him for 7 years. I coached against Charles Dislay, Olivier Lamotte before. Those are more of my top players right now. But I know them since a long day, you know, since a long day. Sorry for my English, but what I mean is like for the last 7 years, I've seen those kind of players. I coached against them. I saw a lot of them when they were playing Midget Triple A, Bantam Triple A, and all those stuff. So I know a lot of my players like this.
So you're really able to lean into your own personal history within hockey and the region in order to, you know, go, this is a player that I've either had or I've seen, and I know what their play style is and whether or not that's going to be a part of Pirates hockey moving forward.
Yeah, exactly. So I know them a lot because I saw them on the ice. I'm scouting elsewhere too, but it's always easier when they already know you because they play against you or you already coach them.
100%.
But it's really fun to have other guys from elsewhere too. So we try to combine both to have a good team every year.
Now, you seem at the same time to have both your players' respect, but also a relationship with them and a mutual respect right back. Is that how you would describe your coaching/management style? Is, you know, mutual respect for each other above everything else?
Yeah, I think I have like as coach model, I have like Bob Hartley, André Tourigny is a big model of mine. He's really a kindly person. You can do both, like you can be close to the player but not too close, and those kind of stuff. So I like to be natural. I like to be myself. The players know what I'm asking, but I can understand sometimes that if they have questions, they need clarity, I have no problem explaining myself. And I think that going forward, this is where you can build some trust against each other.
Yep.
And that's where I think we have success, because offensively I give them a lot of concept, but I give them a little bit of freedom too, because you cannot just give concept and do my system and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to do both, but system needs to be respect, and then I'll respect their game. Respect my game, I'll respect their game. I try to go along with that, right?
And, you know, just getting to know you personally too, I mean, you're a very kind person, and, you know, I really much appreciate that about you. But you also have a level of preparedness that you go about in your daily life that I'm sure translates into hockey as well. You know, whether or not, for today as example, you know, you were really, you know, trying to be prepared for what the day looked like, you know, hour by hour almost for the team as you guys were coming down to Bradford. And I think that's a really unique quality, just like being prepared ahead of time and making sure that everything's going according to plan, that translates to hockey very well.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I like to be prepared and be ready to, because there's so much thing that can go during hockey game, so you need to be prepared. And this is the same thing for a player.
Yep.
So I think if we all do this together, we're well prepared, and we have more chance of winning and have success.
And you can even prepare for the different things that might happen in a game, and, you know, be able to adjust on the fly as well. And that's an even more bigger level of preparation there too, is, you know, what are the different things that might happen throughout the course of a hockey game, or even a larger scale throughout the course of a season, that you might be able to adjust to because you prepared yourself so well. And I think that's a really good quality, Marc-Andre.
Well, thank you.
Now, so more and finally, the most recent season, you guys, you finished last season 21-14-3, and you've started out very well this season. You guys have the second highest winning percentage. What do you owe your success to this season so far, and are there specific areas that you're hoping to improve throughout the year before we get to this year's Russell Cup playoffs?
Yeah, well, I think that most of our success this year were built last season and the season before. Even though we had COVID, we trained for 3 months. My top player this year are guys I have for the last 3 years, right?
Yep.
So they're along to play with each other. I don't take the credit for that. I don't say because of me, you know, but I mean, they play
because
together.
Because I'm the best coach in
the
world.
No, that's not fair.
Yeah.
They worked hard, they worked together, and now they are at a level where they're really good. And that's what a lot of people ask me, why are you so good this year for the start of the season? Well, the guy played together for the last 3 years, so it's pretty well. And yes, we had some top players. Gagnon is my captain. Mm-hmm. Briere is really good too.
Yep.
And now we had Henry. So we had pieces there, but our core guys are here from the last 3 years. So I think that helps a lot. And that's something that I really appreciate, that the guy wants to come back to the Pirates. They had other opportunity to play elsewhere, to have other experience, but they really want to play for the Pirates. And I think that's a good quality for our program.
100%. You built a quality about the program that, you know, its reputation precedes it, you know, whether it be from former players or whether it be from current players or coaching staff or people in the community as well. I mean, the Pirates organization almost speaks for itself in the way that, you know, players know about the Pirates and what that level of excellence is and what it means to be a Villemarie Pirate.
Well, thank you. I think, yes, we did pretty well. And this year I have the chance to get Nicolas Antonov back as assistant coach. He played 12 years in the Magnus, who's the top level in France.
Yep.
He helps my defense a lot. So I think this is fun, because I give them a lot of knowledge, but now they are with Nico, where he can go and improve some area, because I'm more offensive oriented, power play, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So he can complete that, and I think we do pretty well on that.
Heck yeah. Well, it's great to have a guy like that on the bench for sure. And then the very last thing I wanted to say is that since you guys have joined the league in Villemarie, you guys have had some of the top community support in terms of, you know, fans at the games and, you know, everybody wanting to do their part for the Pirates that I've seen in 10 years of the league. It's top notch. And is there a certain or specific ways that you try and encourage your players to give back to the community that supports you so well?
Yes, we try to be with the community a lot with some different activities for sure. Something that helps, we have a lot of local players. So like families and stuff want to everybody knows each other and stuff. We're a small region. So we have 600 a lot of time in our building, sometimes 800. It depends on where we play, which date and stuff. But I think this is helping. And the other stuff is our owners are really... are really engaged in the community. Our owners were mayor before of Ville-Marie now, but he's still pretty engaged with everybody, with the community and everything. So I think that that helps a lot on that area too.
It definitely gets loud inside that building. I can say from firsthand experience that it gets loud as you visit Ville-Marie Arena when you're going in as a visitor. And Marc-Andre, I just wanted to thank you so much for coming on, being the first interview of the Inside the GMHL podcast. You know, it's been a pleasure to get to know you over the last few years. And once I knew that this would be the situation, you coming to Bradford, there was no doubt in my mind that I wanted to have you on for the first interview. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you for sure. And have a good one.
All right. Thanks, Marc-Andre. For coming on the podcast. I really appreciate that. That's a man that I've been lucky to know over the last few years. He's a great guy, a heck of a coach, and you know, congratulations to him on the win that he was able to take over the Bradford Rattlers last Sunday in our game of the week, and thanks for becoming the first interview on the Inside of the GMHL podcast. And lastly, before you go, I just wanted to give a little bit of a chat about the other game of the week and the battle for the top of the South Division when two 10-0 teams went into the game. Only one 10-0 team left that game. And so the North York Renegades came to Bradford to play the Bulls. Both of them were 10-0 at the time. It was the Bradford Bulls Pink in the Rink night. And I know that they had somebody really special lined up to do puck drop for that. It was a wild night. And North York ended up coming away with a victory. The three stars of the game went to Joseph Leonti, who had three goals and an assist in the 5-2 win, Nicholas Lewicki, who made 33 saves to the Renegades, and Nikolai Saloff. And this was just a juggernaut matchup. I can't assume that anything is going to be different the next time these two teams match. They're clearly two of the top three teams in the South Division, and it seems like it's going to be a classic match every time that they play. Well, that's all for the Inside the GMHL podcast. My name's JR, and I just wanted to say I appreciate you all listening. If you wanted to share, there's going to be links from the Apple Podcasts, from the Spotify Podcasts, and from Anchor itself. And so there's going to be a lot of different listening platforms that you have your opportunity to listen on. And thank you so much for tuning in, guys.